Our high school guidance counselor used to ask us what you would do if you had $1 million, didn't have to work. And then invariably, whatever you'd say, that was supposed to be your career. So if you wanted to fix old cars, then you're supposed to be an auto mechanic.
So what did you say?
I never had an answer. I guess that's why I'm working at Inatech.
No, you're working at Inatech because that question is bullshit to begin with. If everyone listened to her, there'd be no janitors because no one would clean up if they had $1 million.
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
Talking about millions of dollars.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
We're living in a material world and I am a material girl. Or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Well, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke, don't do.
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
Hello and welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tim Alley, just met over on the board. The S&P futures up, down 10. Dow futures down 107. And NASDAQ futures down 13. So slightly down here this morning as the Fed is meeting. But, Brendan, how are you?
I'm doing well this morning, Gee. Thank you.
Well, all good. Are you Michigan or are you here?
I'm over in Michigan.
Not a bad place. Just, you know, just saying.
No, enjoying the woods right now.
So did you buy Bitcoin on Friday, sell it yesterday, go short it?
How did you know?
Well, because I know you got your finger on the pulse of this, the woods in Michigan. You know, all you guys that are survivalists and all that kind of stuff over there, you're all into this Bitcoin thing big.
Well, I take umbrage with them, which is a survivalist. Just because we're in the woods doesn't mean we're survivalists. We're naturalists.
Do you have a bunch of dudes that like patrol the perimeter with about 12 guns and your camo outfits and stuff?
Surprisingly not, even though we're in southwestern Michigan where there are quite a few Trump flags flying around, even now. We're in an area that is a subdevelopment of Chicago in many ways. Most of the people here have a Chicago connection, either from Chicago itself or from some of the suburbs. So it's a pretty good place.
Well, that's good.
There are people of different political persuasions, but for the most part, we get along pretty well.
Well, fortunately, no one got croaked this time, but we had another shooting this weekend within 500 yards of the office.
Of the office? Wow.
This is about the fifth one now. In like the last year. And so, you know, if you come in, man, you know how when we drop stuff off the office where we park the car, we take the turn there off the expressway and on Franklin Street and Wacker?
Yeah.
Somebody was coming through there at 1 o'clock in the morning on Saturday night. Guy from Indiana with kids in the car, and all of a sudden they must have got the car wrong. Whoever the they's are, opened up on the guy's car, 1 in the morning. Car's all full of bullets.
And a car with the kids in it?
Yeah. Kids didn't get hit, the guy got grazed, and the cars got bullet holes, so fortunately they missed. So it was an attack on an expressway, sounds like an attack on an expressway exit ramp.
That's horrible.
This is getting out of hand, Brendan, and I don't know, I'll tell you what, there's only one way to stop it, and that's not to have somebody like me drive from the south side on the Ryan all the way to my house on the north side without seeing a squad car every single time. That is not the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not, as you know, I'm not a law and order dude, but it's hitting the point here where you... I have a question for you. I never sort of told you this story. You haven't met him because he's been locked in Singapore kind of for the last 2 or 3 years, but... A buddy of mine, we worked at Pullman together, of all places, and so he became one of these international guys, well, guys that go from country to country and sell these big systems, you know, like if your airport's putting a new computer system in the tower, that's what his group used to. He started at Anderson Consulting, and then now he's at a couple other places past there, but anyway, he's been in Singapore, you know, for a real long time now, and pretty liberal dude. And he said when he first went over there, he absolutely couldn't stand it. Because, of course, he couldn't get his, at the time, VCRs when he moved in because they had to watch them all to make sure there was no, like, porn or anything on them, right? So he didn't get them for, like, 2 months after he mailed them over there or shipped them. So for a while, all he did was, you know, send me emails and stuff complaining about how he can't stand being in a place where the newspaper is, you know, essentially controlled by, you know, the government and so forth. And I bet he would think that the newspaper here now is the same way, because it's controlled by people with agendas to a huge extent, I think. But anyway, but after a while, and the kid's starting to grow up and stuff, he says, you know, and just about every specter of the day, I'm way freer here than I ever was in Chicago. I said, what are you talking about? And he said, well, the kids are 10. They can go over to one of their buddies' houses after in the evening, have dinner, study, and take the bus home or a cab, and I never worry about them. Because nobody would dare over there do anything to anybody. He said, I never lock my house. I never close the windows of my car. I never lock it. He goes, in just about every manner of life, I'm way freer here than I ever was in Chicago, where we couldn't stop crime, we couldn't stop people messing with people. And I thought that was one of the most horrendous conversations I ever had, Brendan, but I don't know if it isn't true on some level. And I think if we don't stop the stuff here, and I've mentioned a few days in a row, so I'll shut up here for today. If we don't stop the carnage here, we're going to get, you know, a Hitler-esque mayor, somebody who just says, I'm going to make it safe for you to walk out your door. And I don't, and nobody's going to care what else happens, Brendan. What it does to your freedom, what it does to anything. And we've been practicing the no freedom thing with the COVID, right? So we're well practiced. But I mean, right, we're reaching a point here where something unusual has to happen. And I don't give a crap if somebody's talking about right now the rights of the people being put upon need to be seen as more important than the rights of the people doing the putting upon. We're reaching that point here, in my opinion. I never thought I'd say that. Where am I wrong, my counselor?
Well, you're not asking a legal question.
Well, I am, because obviously it's totally different than the Kim Fox view of the world, that everybody's innocent.
Mm-hmm. Right. But I think there's a conflation here of different issues. You know, certainly, I agree with you. Something has to be done about the carnage and how to do it. I mean, this is where we get into contrarian views, because I think a big problem is the proliferation of guns and the availability of guns in the city of Chicago and elsewhere. And when you look at the number of guns that are in the country overall compared to the population and compared to the per capita around the world, the United States is in a very rare position. It's the leader of per capita guns. I also think that there's been a shift over many years in how society approaches the let me do it myself, let me take care of myself, which I think goes to the street vigilantism that you're talking about with the people that are shot near your office. The idea that we don't trust the police to handle arrest of situations like that, but want to have our own retribution, I think, goes a long way towards this, too. And that, I think, goes with gang proliferation that we see in Chicago, where people are afraid to deal through the system, if you will, to take care of things and want to have their own street justice and won't share information about who is guilty. And that, of course, then brings in what you refer to as a Camp Fox issue and a court system of turning people out almost right away to get back out on the streets. So there's no simple answer here. And, I think there's also a big differentiation between your comment about where we are right now with the guns and violence and the totalitarianism due to COVID, because I think that's another big argument that needs much more finer tuning before going down that road.
Well, there's no question. I don't know the answer there, but the coincidence of it is there.
Which coincidence?
I mean, the fact that, you know, people are getting used to not having any freedoms. Well, the government can tell you to stay in. I mean, the gun issue, as you and Maddie well know, I am not a gun guy at all. But I'm going to say that 95% of the people who have guns have them because they're afraid of the 5% of the people we can't control. I mean, everybody I know now that's going to get a gun, there's all kind of, you can't even, if you want to go to a concealed carry class, Brendan, you got to go during the week. They're mobbed on weekends. You can't buy ammunition. They're out of it. The reason why people are afraid is because 84% of the murders in the city don't even have an arrest, for God's sake. I mean, you're talking about the police, but whatever it is, I'm not talking about an individual cop, because everyone knows my dad was a cop. I mean, we're not talking about the fact is they are totally ineffective. How that is and all the things that play into it, obviously it's not all their fault. It's probably not any majority of it their fault, but the fact is they are useless. When it comes, when you got 84 to 90% of all your murders not having no suspects, when people can get out of a car in an open place with nothing but cameras, and you still don't have a suspect, I mean, how are you ever going to get one? I mean, right? I mean, how many cameras do we have in a city? Like 90 bazillion? I mean, you can't tell me the people who shot up the party bus at Clark and LaSalle last week that all those people weren't on camera. Between the gas station, mm-hmm. between the corners, between the red, I don't know if they have red light cameras, but if they do, you can't tell me that this wasn't all on video somehow. And still nobody's arrested. 10 people.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever it is.
Yeah, I understand that's a big problem.
But how does it affect, you know, the economics of things? I mean, how does it affect? I mean, again, the theme of the show really is that everything depends on everything else, and mm-hmm. I don't see, you know, this thing. I see people, the homeless guys, many, and I just walked by a couple this morning setting up shop. I mean, you can't decide that you're going to give the job of 4,000 to 5,000 people and all the support people of exchanges to 4 people, just give them the markets and watch, like I do every day, the markets deteriorate by the day with no ability whatsoever to fine, spank, whatever you want to do to the people who essentially provide the markets, how horrible they are. You can't divorce that from the fact that this area of the loop now is a dead zone.
Well, parts of the loop have been dead zones for a long period of time, and they've come back with a various amount of degrees. I mean, I remember when State Street was just completely dead, then it was revived sort of, and then it revived in a different way. And there are certain areas of the loop that have undergone the same thing, and they go further because of the commercial problem, commercial leases right now. I think a lot of what you're talking about is cyclical.
No.
Some longer cycles.
The demise of the exchanges. The exchanges put Chicago on the map, for God's sake, Brandon. If they're not here anymore.
A lot of that was due to computerization. And now I do realize that that the tax base, the taxing system of the city of Chicago, helped to put the nails in the coffin for that.
No, it didn't.
But a lot of that was due to computerization and the merging.
No, it. First of all, computerization, Brendan, got rid of the good-looking runners running back and forth to the pits with the orders, okay? And there's no way, other than wanting to look at the good-looking runners, that you would ever go back to that in the age of computers. The computers didn't make things exclusive. SEC did that. There's nothing that says that we can't have 500 market makers on a computer. We don't have to have 3 or 4. There's no connection between the computer system should make it easier for other people to participate. In fact, there's less people. It's totally worked the opposite of what, quote, computerization should mean. When the business started, you remember back when the NASDAQ started? There's the NASDAQ market system. Well, the people at the University of Chicago, who were into these free markets big time, and one of the reasons why the CBOE was set up with the rules that it had, they basically, when they saw the computerization of the NASDAQ system, which I'll explain in a second, it was like you gave, you know, blanket Viagra to all these guys. They were so wound up. I mean, for people that don't know, the New York Stock Exchange, obviously all the trades took place on an exchange floor, which got more and more computerized as time went by, that all the orders were entered electronically, they went to the pit electronically, all that stuff. So the advancements of computers didn't mean just because you had a building that you weren't advancing. I mean, you were. But the NASDAQ, they decided we don't have to be no stinking, well, I guess you had to be a member of the NASD. Now, PTI is a level, what are we, level 2 member, I think. So we can not only trade for people or do brokerage business for people on the NASDAQ, we can access a level of the system where we can see where the bids and offers are. This is going back a ways. Level three, which we could be if we wanted to be, we never availed ourselves of this. Level three means you could actually become a market maker in a stock just by being a member of the NASDAQ. So we could say we're going to be a market maker in these two or three stocks, and all of a sudden the next day we put up bids and offers and, you know, Brendan Inc. We could do that. So we could essentially access, by being members of the NASD, the NASDAQ, we could access the system and become market makers. And so the people thought, oh my God, everybody gets to be a market maker. The system is going to be spectacular. Instead of having to be a member of the New York Stock Exchange and all that good stuff, this is going to make the New York Stock Exchange spectacular. But of course, our loser regulators at the time, same as they are now, all of a sudden allowed Brendan, this became the crookedest market there was. But it was all electronic. There was no correlation between being legitimate and electronic. If you put a market up, if Brendan Inc. was a quarter, a half, and I put up a 3/8 bid, they wouldn't trade with me. Because they'll show me not to maintain the quarter, a half with the market. So the discipline in the system was a small player couldn't even get in there. Or if I was 3/8 bid for 500 shares, I'd see 1,000 shares trade in a quarter, 1,000 shares trade in a quarter. I go, what the bleep, what's going on? Oh, no, you didn't have enough. You didn't have all 1,000, so we just went around you and went to the next best bid. So they would do everything they possibly could to not trade with you because they didn't want you narrowing the markets. So the intent of the system got totally compromised by the crooks that were in it. And all of a sudden, one day in like 91, 92, all these people got fined. And they supposedly fixed the system. I'm going to say, Brendan, the fine was 1/100th, 1/1000th of how much these people stole for the two decades before. Maybe not even that. It was a classic case of, how many cases of beer did you steal? 25? Well, here, why don't you bring back a six-pack? We'll call it even. That's essentially what happened. So the idea that something is becomes computerized, it's all of a sudden straight, don't think that way. Please, do not think that way, because that is not the way the world is, especially in this business. The straightest thing is 10 people standing in a pit and everybody hearing every trade, which, of course, you can't do now in some areas, but I'm saying that was the straightest, because it was called an auction market and everybody saw everything. So the idea that this computerized system, where there's kickbacks and pay from order flow, is somehow straight just because it's computerized, there's a yarn that has been spun for a long time, but it's just not true. And I know you can tell me I'm all wrong.
Okay, I understand the argument that you're making, the points that you're making. We're coming from a different perspective. What I was talking about, I was going back to your previous comment about the area of the loop that was desolate, and the fact that things like the board has moved or changed. And I thought that just from a physical location, as you said, you don't no longer have the 10 runners or the 500 runners going back and forth in the pit. A lot of those people have lost their jobs because of computerization. First, there's no physical location where they're running to or from. The trades are faster. I mean, I go back even to that Michael Lewis book of Flash Boys, talking about the instantaneous nature of the trades, again, to gain an advantage. So I was coming from it from the standpoint of why there aren't as many people in that area of the loop, why the Board of Trade is, you know, so empty relative to the way that it was before, not the point that you're making on the trading through the computerization.
Well, I guess what it comes down to is it shouldn't be going from 2,000 people to 5. It probably should be going from, I'm talking about 2,000 traders, because the traders are still valuable. Now, the ancillary people, you know, the people who work the booths and answer the phone calls for the orders and stuff, I get that part. I mean, there's no reason for that in any kind of electronic system. But the idea that you're down to, you know, 5 traders and the Board of Trade makes all its money by charging people for quotes instead of making good markets, I mean, that's insane. So what I'm saying is the amount of traders should still be 500, maybe not on the floor. But then again, Brendan, why, if you want to stand on the floor, there's an attitude that some people have, not very many like me, is if I stand on the floor and I input, and that becomes my office, and 10 guys just want to use the floor as their office. Now, you don't have to go there to do it, but that becomes a central point where everything flows through there. Doesn't mean that you can't put markets up from away from there. doesn't mean you can't have an office. I mean, any of those things. But if somebody wants to stand there, I believe that if you are putting an order in, and once a week you get a better fill because some jamoke still wants to stand down there, I think the world's a better place. Yet the powers that be think you're in the way. That if you pay 3/8 for something that I wanted to pay a quarter for, you shouldn't be there. I deserve the quarter, which means that the customer gets screwed for 12.5 cents. That's the mentality now. That these people provide so much that they get to make their own markets, and anybody who makes them narrower is impinging the system, not helping. That's the part that I have trouble communicating. The intention is not to make the markets good; it's to make them bad and have a few people doing it.
Mm-hmm. But again, we're talking about different things. The premise that we started on was what happened in the Loop area,
right,
and losing business.
Okay.
And my premise came in was that with fewer people there, that there's going to be less businesses because you're going to have fewer people running out to the subway to buy lunch.
Oh, sure.
You're going to have few people going to the newspaper stand to buy a newspaper if anybody reads a newspaper anymore. You're going to have fewer people going to buy a pack of gum in the lobby, so those stores are going out of business. And they need to be replenished with something. So my point about computerization is that it's a lot easier to have space either in the Board of Trade or in Kansas City doing the same type of work that they would normally, that they used to do on the floor.
Correct.
So fewer people means fewer support systems in that part of the Loop area. That was the basis of my comment.
And
I think that things are cyclical because the city will revive itself with new people, new businesses coming in. It may take a bit of time, but that's part of the cycle. I mean, think about different parts of the city from a housing standpoint, which were, you know, desolate. Wrigleyville, of all places. When I was a kid and my parents took me to a Cubs game, that was a desolate area.
Oh, yeah.
And you'd park your car in the street, and kids from the neighborhood come up and said, "Watch your car for a buck." And if you didn't pay them, you might come back and you wouldn't have any tires on the car.
Oh, right.
Now,
oh, yeah.
Wrigleyville is one of the hottest areas in the Midwest as far as housing prices. So, and you know, the Cubs haven't changed that much. I mean, the Rickets took advantage of it, but it's not because of that. It's because of the nature of the way the city turns over and changes.
Right, but you can't. I guess what I'm saying, Brendan, is you have to be careful that right now, for whatever reason, this area of the Loop is down, pick a number, 15,000 people. You don't attract another 15,000 with 5 shootings in the area in the last 4 months.
That's a big problem. That's a very big problem, and that is something that whoever the mayor happens to be at the time has to face. And it's an issue that, I mean, there are parts of the city that were in that same position when Daley was the mayor, when Ron was the mayor, and now that Lori Lightfoot's the mayor. And that is a problem.
And when you have this tax issue, I mean, the people left, the CVS left 175 West Jackson. It was one of their best locations. They left because of the tax burden over years. I mean, it's all kind of coming together at the same time, Brendan. It's not a good story.
No, it's not. And, you know, there does have to be a change in the tax system. There has to be a fair tax system for the entire tax base, both on property taxes and income taxes. And the corollary is also the need to revise things on the spending side, including things like the pension problem. And I think that, you know, there's a huge issue in Illinois with the fact that the biggest example that I come is the disparity in what Pritzker and the legislature did in the last election when they had on the ballot the question about the constitutional amendment to remove the flat income tax, and yet refused to put to the public the idea, can we change the pension provision in the Constitution? On the one hand, you had Pritzker and the Democrats saying on the income tax issue, let the people vote. We're sure that people will allow us to tax the wealthy by removing this provision, by amending this provision. On the other hand, when it came to pension reform, they said, oh, no, you don't know what you're talking about here, so leave it to us at our discretion. And as a result, there was no vote on the pension reform. There was a vote and a negative vote for Pritzker on the change in the income tax, which I think was the right thing to do.
Well, I do, too. I just, at some point, I don't see... Boy, this is an awful, awful thing to say, Brennan. I want to end under. I don't see how, in a democratic world, you wiggle your way out of this. I honestly don't. I mean, I'm not a dictatorial sort of dude, but I mean, right now, when the, I don't know, how many years ago was it that we have? Is it every 20 years we vote on whether to have a new constitutional convention?
Something like that. 15 years, something like that. Yeah.
Well, the last one. I was all for it on the air. Of course, that didn't exactly carry the day. But every like the fire department, all those people were passing stuff out to me when I walked by, my buddies downstairs, and they all were concerned because that piece of the Constitution was going to get changed. The part about you can't decrease the tent. Well, as long as the vote is, we have so many civic employees and other people don't vote, you're never going to win that, Brendan. You're never going to get it on the ballot. If you do, you're never going to. I mean, it basically comes down to, you have five people on the board, you got a chicken and four wolves, and we're voting what you're having for dinner. I mean,
that gets into the whole other discussion as to who votes and how and why they vote. And the answer to that is have more people vote. I mean, get the vote out, the old traditional way to do that. And, you know, that's true when you look across the country with the way voting laws are being changed in different locations, and certainly it goes to, you know, voting people out of office. You know, I'm almost at a point right now where in Illinois I would argue against any incumbent being reelected in their state, regardless of who's running against them, just because of the damage they've done to this state. But you know, we're coming up near the end of the half hour, and we still haven't even talked about the Olympics yet, Chief.
Well, we may have to have you back as a special. What have you watched? I watched girls softball. I watched swimming. I didn't watch anything last night. I was watching the Cubs.
I've watched some gymnastics. I've watched some swimming. How about that woman from Notre Dame who won the gold medal in fencing?
A woman from Notre Dame has won the gold medal in fencing like the last 30 years. That's why Notre Dame is the best girls fencing team in the country. All the gold medal winners all go to Notre Dame. if you have a granddaughter, the first thing you want to do is put her in fencing class.
Really?
Seriously. Every school that gives fencing scholarships is one of the best.
I thought with my granddaughter, I'm trying to teach her to pitch left-handed because left-handed pitchers are a premium. And I figure by the time she's able to make the major leagues, people will be looking for left-handed female pitchers.
Well, the two girls that are softball pitchers in a team are both left-handed, right? The one was like 6'4".
Yeah, well, Kat Osterman, the main pitcher, is 38 years old. She's coming back. She was on the last gold medal team with the 2004.
Well, what's the other lady's name?
She came back, and she's pitched well.
What about the other lady, Abbott? She's like she's 33, I think, or 34, and she has been playing in Europe, and what is she, like 6'4"? And she lets the ball go.
Well, it just goes to show the left-handed premium, the premium on left-handed pitchers, be they male or female. And certainly, you know, you can pitch in the major leagues for a long period of time if you're a left-handed pitcher.
You know, the softball distance for the girls is only 43 feet, and that's moved back a foot in the last several years. I just assumed it was the same as Little League, 46, but it's not. It's shorter. It must be really hard to hit that thing.
It is. And, you know, the dynamic. Have you ever hit against a fastball pitcher?
Softball? No, I've been 12-inch. I have not.
We played softball pitcher?
No, we played slow pitch in school, and the old guys played slow pitch. I never played fast pitch.
It's amazing. When you watch, and I'm not trying to be sexist here, but it just happens to be that most good fast pitch softball are women's leagues, not men's leagues. But when you're watching the pitchers, it's completely the opposite of hitting a baseball. You know, the spin on a baseball normally will take it down and away. Softballs rise. And if you try to catch a softball and you're not used to a good pitcher, the spin and the curve on the ball is just completely the opposite of what you see in a baseball. And when you have a good softball pitcher against even major league hitters, the major league hitters look really bad. And of course, you're right, with the distance of it being 43 feet instead of 60 feet, 6 inches for baseball, the ball gets there really fast.
Well, they still play fast pitch in, I think, Pennsylvania, don't they, Matty? The men? It's an Eastern thing. They still play some places.
Somewhere.
I don't know if there's any leagues here. Brennan, thank you very much, buddy. Talk at you next week. We'll go over, maybe we'll have an Olympic show. There'll be so much to talk about. Good thing is I haven't paid much attention. So every time I turn it on, I don't know who won, so it's all new to me.
I had the same thing when I turn it on at night. I don't really pay much attention to the feeds. Although I do think it was interesting that Katie Ledecky lost, and people are making, you know, there's some of the announcers are making such a big deal out of it. She lost to somebody who's a little bit younger and a little bit faster. That happens to everybody in sports at some point.
It was the second fastest time of her life, and the lady beat her by a hair.
I know. That's why, and just like when you look at the mistakes that Simone Biles made, you know, that kind of thing happens in competition. It's not the end of the world just because Americans don't win everything and because somebody like Simone has a couple of mistakes on her routines.
They got to be perfect just because you're watching them, Brendan. That's the way the world is. SP Futures
more is never enough.
That's right.
The idea that more is never enough.
SP Futures down 5, NASDAQ Futures up 7. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Ollies. It's Brett Weber on the board. SP Futures down 5. NASDAQ Futures, however, have come back. They're up 7. Dow Futures down 80. Individual stocks in the Dow. We've got, well, 3M, they had earnings. They're up $1.74, so they're not going to cause it being down. Goldman Sachs down $1.40. And we've got, it's really sort of it. I don't know why the futures are down so much. There must be some that are not open. They expect to open down. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX down 40.3%, FTSE down 21.3%, CAC down 5, let's call that down 1% or flat, so not much going on there. We've got another day. This is unreal. Nikkei up 136.5%, Shanghai down 86.5%, Hang Seng down 1,100, has been down 8% in the last 2 days, Hang Seng, and China's down as well. We had Mike Hart on yesterday, and he was saying he couldn't believe it, that there was no carryover to us, and now it's 2 days in a row, and so far there's no carryover. Let's say that's interesting. I'm not saying go buy or sell. It just is interesting. Yesterday, Dow was up 82, S&P up 10, NASDAQ up 3. Bonds, we are 1.27 unchanged on the 10-year rate. The bond minus 0.43, that's actually down a basis point. And we've got Japan on, well, it's right back to 0.01, so we're just hanging above positive by not much. Oil up 15 cents, 72.06, so a big rally back from being down almost 67 last week. Brent up 32 cents, 74.82. Natural gas down 3 cents, 4.06. RBOB up a penny to 232. And we've got gold is, well, we got, this thing is showing gold down 2,700 bucks, but it's not that, obviously. It's 1,700 and it's 96, so it's below 1,800, so that's not good. Silver down 15 cents, 25.16. Copper down 4 cents, 4.53. We've got crypto down 2,100 after being up 4,000 yesterday. It's all about Amazon. First, the hint was that they were going to take Bitcoin, and all of a sudden they denied it, so now it's back down, but not down as much as it was up. Manny, what do you got for us, Travis Weather Sports?
38 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We have a crash on Lakeshore Drive at Fullerton on the southbound side. that's causing some delays. The crash is either just cleared or close to being cleared, but there's some resulting congestion from that earlier crash on the southbound side at Fullerton at Lakeshore Drive, so keep that in mind.
Would that be DuSable Lakeshore Drive, maybe?
Oh, maybe. Is that official?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Edens and Kennedy looking good. No issues on the Eisenhower or Stevenson. Southside expressways are all quiet. Only other crash in the area, it's actually a closure due to police activity, it says here. Lake Street just west of I-290, which is between North Highview Avenue and Mill Road out in the western suburbs. There's a closure there due to police activity. No further details on that. But everything else all quiet. Weather today, another hot summer day today. Sunshine, a high of 91. Right now it is clear and 77 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy with a high of 103. Right now it's clear and 80. In sports, Cubs got a walk-off hit in the bottom of the ninth from Javier Baez to beat the Reds 6-5 last night. White Sox lost in Kansas City 4-3. Eloy Jimenez made his debut coming off of injury and went 0-4 in the DH spot. Diamondbacks were off. They're at Texas tonight. And we'll take our daily look at the Olympic medal count. The United States right now is atop the leaderboard with 22 total medals. And they're tied with China and Japan with 9 gold medals. So U.S. off to a good start.
Remember when Russia and East Germany used to be up there?
They're more winter, aren't they?
I don't think Russia used to be
good in summer too.
Oh God, yeah. They had all
not so far this year.
No, not so far this year. They were great in track and field. They were good. Joel, how are you, buddy?
Good morning, Chief. How you doing on this this Tuesday, turbulent Tuesday? I guess if you own Chinese stock.
Yeah, well, you've got your bat phone to the Fed meeting, I understand. Does it just beep, or do you get a? You just see a flashing light, or when do you pick that up? Let us know what they're doing.
It's transitory.
You already got the message.
It's transitory. Hey, I have a question for you two sports mavens. Explain to me, Lucy here, how exactly, from what I understand, from what Manny and I have talked about, and I think you and I have talked about it, by everybody's count, although I don't know, I actually could maybe just say that isn't true, but by everybody's count, in the last 5 years for sure, since they've had the network, allegedly the University of Texas has made more money in their football program than anyone else by a wide margin. Like their net is supposedly more than Southern Cal's gross or something when it first started. Am I wrong, Matty?
Yes, sir. Yes.
So why are they so anxious to leave their conference? They must be going to have to give up their own network to join the...
Yes.
How is it? Are these numbers wrong? Are they even greedier? Or what is going on here? I'm totally flummoxed.
Matty, you want to go first?
I have no idea. I don't know the answer.
Yeah, I just think there's just a whole, you know, sir. I mean, that they got the network right, and I don't know what they're going to try and keep to be part of the network. But it's going to these super conferences right now. I mean, I almost feel like there's only going to be like 3 or 4 conferences. So I think they're looking at it as it's bigger to, you know, be part of like the huge pie. Then they must see some turbulence for their own network going down the pipe. That's the only thing I can see.
Well, our man Kevin is convinced, and he's been convinced about this for 7-8 years, that we're going to end up with 16 team mega conferences that are more like the NFL than they're not even controlled by the NCAA. They're all on their own. They're going to have the top one or two teams in those conferences get in the playoffs. Nobody else gets a chance to be in, and anybody else is just chopped liver. And that's where we're heading. And I'm not so sure he's not right. I don't know. I mean,
I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that premise at all. It's kind of, I mean, the Big Ten is now, you know, looking to add teams, and the SEC is going after Texas. I don't know if that deal's been consummated yet.
Oh, yeah, it is. As of last night, I think it has. Well, the announcement came out. Yeah, 2025 season, Manny?
Oklahoma, too, right?
Yeah, Oklahoma and Texas.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. I don't know. It just seems it's like it's not even I can't even say like the old days anymore because I don't even remember when the old days were. You know, Nebraska, Oklahoma used to be a rivalry. You know, the Big Ten was the Big Two. Now it's the Big One. It's all about the buck, Chief, and it's where you can make the most money. And they obviously identify going to the SEC, you know, as far as recruiting, the appeal. It comes down to the almighty dollar, the broadcasting dollar.
Well, the ACC is allegedly pushing for Penn State, which I would be surprised, but I'd look.
For Penn State to lead the Big Ten?
Yep, to go to the ACC.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You can sense my, what is it, not dismay or frustration or, I mean, it's just change. It's all change. Maybe I'm just an old fogey and don't like to, you know, see change, but certainly, I don't know. The cat's out of the bag with the transfers, college is becoming more like the NFL, and exactly what you said with that new alignment that I think you said Kevin mentioned. Why the heck not? It kind of feels like it, that with all, like I said, this transfer portal thing, it's just like being a free agent, the way they're moving around.
Well, you're gonna have nothing but recruitment while people are there. The idea that unless you graduate, you move, that's going to change totally. Hey, we got a couple of minutes. What about markets here? Are you at least a bit concerned about what's happening in China? I mean, in this world that's sort of connected, I don't see how you have one place down 8% and everybody else, like, it doesn't even happen. But
I can't figure it out, Chief. I can't figure out what they're doing, why they're doing it. I don't know if it's the nature of the Chinese population right now that are looking, at short-term pain for long-term gain. I guess that's the only thing I can see that's going on. I don't know where their next steps. I don't know what their next move is. But this is contrary to the benefit of their economy. They're just maybe just looking to become more self-sufficient and being relying on the United States, and by hurting these companies that are listed on U.S. exchanges, that's exactly what they're doing. They're strengthening things within their own country.
Well, do you think that they should?
That's what their goal is.
But I guess if you're from China, why would we want our Uber listed in Shanghai?
I don't know, Chief. I really, we've been talking about this on my broadcast. It's a stumper. I don't know what their end goal is, but it's definitely an uneasy feeling to see what's happening. I mean, let alone being involved in the equities, those issues. It started a while. I mean, Alibaba's the one that the thing that's most concerning is that, it started with Alibaba, and, they supposedly paid a fine, and now they're being grouped in with all these education stocks. So, very unsettling situation, but the market doesn't care. The earnings season, the earnings are beats. They don't care about the variant. This is just a Teflon market to the nth degree. So enjoy it on the way up, and it doesn't seem like the Fed's going to turn it. Doesn't seem like China is going to turn it. It's just incredible to be able to shrug the bad news off after bad news. Cyber attacks, they don't make any difference.
Nope.
High oil prices, possible inflation, that doesn't make any difference. It's just the bull market, Chief. What else can I say?
Yes, it is.
You've been around as long as I have, and you've seen the markets do different things at different junctures, but never seen the market with the ability to ignore bad news as much as this. But listen, I got to hop.
Yeah, take off.
I just want to alert your viewers that my buddy Dennis and I, they should go to premarketprep.com, check out our site. We're doing a Saturday event on the markets, education, trading pre-market after hours. Just trying to navigate these markets. So if you like the content that I'm giving you here, there won't be any sports, but I appreciate it. Have everyone go
all right, but maybe we'll sneak you back for a minute to talk about it before Saturday. Take care of yourself. SP futures down 6, NASDAQ futures up 3. Be right back.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, owner of Home Source Realty and frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks radio show. If you're thinking about purchasing real estate, this summer could be a good time to shop around. Whether you're a novice or seasoned investor, low interest rates and good inventory make adding bricks and mortar investment to your portfolio an interesting possibility. Many a great fortune has begun with the purchase of property. Call me today for your personal investment consultation, and I would be happy to get you started on your path to prosperity. You can reach me at AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com or call me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here.
Blowing off by Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Holly. Just met Weber on the board. SP Futures down 8, NASDAQ Futures down 3. Matty, just when you think things can't get any worse, Olympic champ Simone Biles out of team finals with apparent injury.
Yeah, I just read that across Twitter that she is having to shut it down, which is too bad when you wait for something for 4 years, and this time it was 5 years.
Why is she going to heal up by the individuals? What are those?
I don't know. Yeah, is she? So she's not out completely? She's just out of the team competition?
Injury during the vault.
You said she looked off, so that kind of explains it. I didn't see her performance, but I remember you saying she kind of looked off.
Yeah, she was not herself. I mean, she was still better than everybody else, but just because of the hard stuff she does, she still looks better than other people. But she took off her bar grips, hugged teammates Grace McCallum, Sunisa Lee, and Jordan Childs before putting on a jacket and sweatpants. The Americans will be forced to finish the rest of the competition without her, severely hampering their bid to claim a third straight Olympic title. I guess, yeah. She said she arrived in Tokyo as the unquestioned star, but struggled at least by her standards even during qualifying. So this might be something that's nagging. I guess they still think she's a possible to come back for the individual, but I don't see how that happens. I hope so, but
That's not too bad.
Yeah, it is really too bad.
Well, I mean, when she's apparently such a spectacular kind of one generational type talent, and then when it's an Olympic event that you've been waiting, in this case because of the COVID delay, 5 years for instead of four, you feel pretty bad.
Well, I mean, I saw her on the floor exercises, and I mean, if she was injured, my God, I mean, it looked absolutely perfect to me, man.
Oh, really?
I mean, I don't see how anybody would any even twinge of anything could have been injured, but unless she's just the toughest thing going, which she might be. I can't imagine these girls. I mean, well, the guys too. But how many times you see those uneven parallel bars and stuff? How many times they go from one to the other? How many thousand times do you think they must have missed and fallen before they finally catch it?
Yeah.
I mean, how many times does somebody try a triple jump in skating and fall on their ass before they finally catch the first one? I mean, thousands. I mean.
right? I mean, I don't. I used to see once in a while. I'd go up to Evergreen Park High School, and we played Little League there, or Pee Wee League actually. And they, once in a while, if you got there early for batting practice or something, I'd go real early, and I'd, of course, in those days, Manny, no one would ride. You would never ride with your mother, right? That was way you could never do that, right? So even though my mother came to every game, she drove herself, and I took my bike before and drove back, you know, after. You would never get out of the car with your mother.
Well, of course not.
You absolutely couldn't do that. Now today, nobody seems to care. I don't. Of course, people live so far away from the park now; it'd be a long ride. But once in a while, I'd see these track guys in the. I don't know if you ever saw like those hurdling things.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what they are now, but in those days, I mean, they were metal and wood. They were heavy as hell, and it was a cinder track. And you'd see these guys in a practice, and they'd do three or four heats. And if somebody didn't fall at least two or three times, they try to clear the thing by like a thousandth of an inch, and you go down on the cinders. If they didn't fall two or three times a night, there was something like it was like they weren't practicing hard enough. What kind of fortitude do these guys have? And I can only imagine these. You see those people on the balance beam? How many times they miss that thing and come down and catch like inner legs? They must have be black and blue their whole life, for God's sake, until they finally. I mean, I remember at the University of Chicago, they had a gymnastics team. I remember the balance beam, or the, whatever that is, that what they call it, the piece of wood that's got the little padding on it.
Yeah.
Well, at least there, the thing was like, it was basically laid on the floor, right? It wasn't up in the air. So if you missed it, you wouldn't, you know, your ankle's still in play, but at least you're not going to tear the hell out of your inner thigh if you fall, you know, if you split on the thing. But I got to believe how many ankles these people roll over during the 10 years they're training for this. It's got to be hundreds.
Well, they only have two, so it would have to be two.
Yeah, but I'm saying, well, right, but how many times do you, okay, how many times
not
do you
how run? Many ankles, how many times do you twist your ankle?
Right, well, I guess if it heals back up and it happens again, you it's like a second injury.
There you know,
it's the same ankle. But, yeah, I mean, I don't, some of these sports are just, and you see these people in the swimming. I mean, this lady who won, Katie Ledecky, or lost by, what'd she lose by? Like, 0.2 seconds in a four, some incredible number. I mean, and it's literally by an elbow to an arm, right? And it's scary how close everybody is. I mean, they had one of the guys who did the backstroke heat, and they were talking about how the guy, our guy, and how they showed him a slow motion of him. You know, you pull yourself up on the thing. It's not the end of the pool anymore. I mean, now you actually get in this, what do they call that, start position, where you got this bar you hang on to, and those guys, I mean, they're coiled like a spring coming off there, right? And it's way different than in my day where you grabbed onto the side of the pool, you know, type of thing. But these guys, I mean, the guy was, he wins this thing by, however, it was 100 meter. He wins this thing by, you know, a few hundredths of a second, and he won pretty heavily. I mean, he was half a body length, which is a hell of a long way, but two lengths of the pool. And they said he was only like, you know, couple tenths of a second off his world record. But, I mean, it's scary how close everybody is on this stuff. I mean, you just must reach the end of, you know, what a human body can do, and then they get a little bit better pool technology, a little bit of something. Plus, these guys, where do they go? Like, seemingly like half the length of the pool before they even come up. They do that dolphin kick. I mean, they really fly doing that thing. I never remember that from 20 years ago. Do you?
I don't know. I think I do.
I mean, it's you could only do it freestyle for a while, wasn't that what Lou was saying?
Probably,
last week?
Yeah. You'd have to. Lou and Joel are the swimmers on here. You'd have to ask them.
By the way, we have to have Frank back on and tell us how he did in the senior swimming.
Yeah, Frank is a great swimmer as well.
Well, he thinks he could be like in the top 10 over 70 in the butterfly.
Oh wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know what I was watching yesterday? Well, I wasn't really watching. I had CNBC on in the background, and that's just so boring. I had to turn it off. I mean, I don't know how you listen to that droning all day. It's awful.
Well,
Jesus Christ.
I can't stand Kramer. I got to turn the sound down.
Well, Kramer's bad enough, but then throughout the day, it's just like, oh my God, it's so boring. But I guess people like it. Anyway, so I flipped over to the Olympics, which are also kind of boring, but at least, you know, it's something to watch. During the day in the background, in between meetings and stuff. And they had 3-on-3 women's basketball. Have you seen this? It's half court. and it's 3-on-3. If you don't hit the rim, you don't have to take it back. If it does hit the rim, you got to take it back beyond the 3-point line, and then it's live. And it's really fast paced in spite of being half court. And it's like you're watching like pickup basketball at the park. It's like it was U.S. versus China, and China was really good. I mean, or at least they played really well. And the U.S. ended up beating them at the end. But I mean, it was a close back and forth game. And they're playing like ones and twos, like at the park, pick like 3-on-3 basketball, and somehow it's an Olympic event.
Did you ever?
I've never seen that before.
Did you ever play in a 3-on-3 league? I did.
Played in many 3-on-3 leagues.
Yeah, they're
played
fun.
In hundreds. Yeah, they're really fun. I've played with D1 guys, and I played with really good players. And 3-on-3 is kind of an equalizer because it really takes the crazy good athlete that in the full court that can just beat you off the dribble and get up and down, and it sort of equalizes it a little bit. So it's more just about, can you make threes? Can you rebound? Can you screen and share the ball with three guys? And it really kind of equalizes the game. It's a lot of fun. Love 3-on-3.
Well, it is. I mean, it's all. I mean, I didn't have anywhere near the skill set. First of all, I couldn't jump at all.
Don't need to in 3-on-3.
Well, yeah. My one skill set was I could get around my guy enough to where I could force somebody else to come get me, and I always remembered who that guy had and would pass off. Which is, you know, so I would essentially draw the help and then kick the ball away.
And that's a good move.
In 3-on-3, that's a spectacular skill. To where you sort of need the other guy, somebody else to kind of be watching you, because your guy can't really stay in front of you the whole time. And if that's the way that is, and you can find the other guy, he should have a real big game. the guy that you would keep passing the ball off to.
Yeah. Well, I remember I was playing in one tournament over at what's that park on Division and like Orleans over.
Oh, right by where they had a bunch of hoops.
Ton there. Of courts there. Yeah. So anyway, they like 10 or 12 years ago, they had a really good high level 3-on-3 tournament there, and you remember Tim Doyle?
Oh yeah,
Timmy. He and a couple of his Northwestern buddies were registered for the event. Well, someone opted out like the night before. And he's scrambling to find a fourth guy, basically a sub, because he was thinking, we're going to play all day because we're good, right? So we're going to need a sub at some point. And so he calls me. He's like, hey, can you play in this? We're like in the elite level, like not the regular level. And I'm like, well, I don't know if I can really compete at that level. He's like, no, it's fine. You'll be a sub. You know, when someone gets tired, you come in. Rebound, you know, if you're open to shoot it, if it goes in, great. If it doesn't, no big deal. But, you know, you get to play, and it's fun, and you're already paid for, essentially, so you're in. So I'm like, all right. So I show up. Of course, I'm not playing a ton, but I get in there, and I'm kind of doing what he says. But they were, like, the first people that I ever heard say either it's a three or a layup. Don't shoot anything else, because the threes were worth two. And then the layups obviously were worth one.
Yeah.
So your value of a 3-pointer was much more valuable because it was literally worth twice as many points. It's not 3-2 like in regular basketball. It's 2-1. So you really want to shoot threes even more because they're twice as valuable as shooting ones. Now obviously you're not going to pass up a layup, but his point was don't shoot any like mid-range, any fadeaway, any post-up stuff. And I never heard anyone say that before. And of course, first time I go in there, I shoot like a mid-range, 12-foot shot and miss it. And he's like yelling at me, like, what did I say? So anyway, we play with this strategy of only threes or layups, basically. And we make it all the way to the final and played really well. And then we ended up losing in the final. But God, it was so much fun. And playing with guys that really know how to play. They were all like 6'6", 6'7", but they could all shoot. They could all do everything. If you're open, they pass, whiz the ball, and you better have your hands up and can catch the ball. But playing with that level of skill was great, and yeah, we had a good run.
We had we did this thing from the trading floor. Of course, it was back when everybody had dough, right? And of course, it was kind of the longest day, long story, but ended up with some huge fight at some bar. I mean, it was bad, but we ended up playing in the old stadium. And
it's awesome.
I had kind of retired. I mean, I was either one of these guys. I either had to play 4 or 5 nights a week, or I was never good enough like you to play every 2 weeks and still be decent. I either play there all the time, or else I had to.
Well, I think I'm in that category now too. If I'm worried about how bad I'm going to be with having not played during COVID.
Yeah, but if you get back to playing enough times a week, you'll be okay. But just I just didn't have the skill set of like that. I had to either be in really good shape and just constantly. But anyway, so we go play at the stadium.
And I sponsored this team, right, back when everybody had cash. But I'm the fourth guy. Well, of course, one of our guys gets hurt like 2 points into the first game.
So you're playing.
I'm playing. This is 8 a.m. I'm playing. Well, then as the day wears on, we lose our two games. It's double elimination. But the weird part there was you couldn't take a layup because it was call your own foul, but everybody just hammered everybody that was in tight. So you literally, even if you thought you were open inside, you had to pass the ball back because you were looking for the 15-foot shot where nobody at least could hack you.
Yeah.
So we end up losing. We won one, lost one, won one, lost one. So we're out. Well, now, of course, people start getting hurt. Hey, Tom, you look like you're still in one piece. How about playing with us for the rest of the... I end up playing the last game of the day at 5 o'clock against... And I'm dying, right? I'm already stiffening up. It's very... So I'm playing against some guy who's just graduated Illinois, and he's like 6'6", 6'7". He's real good. He was a good ball player at Illinois. And I go, I'll make a deal with you. Just don't score every time. I won't hack you. Just score enough to where you're in the game, and I said, because I don't want to hack you, and I don't want you embarrassing me. The guy goes, we got a deal. I'm like, what am I doing here at 5? You know, I mean, unbelievable. SP Futures down 6, NASDAQ Futures up 3. But somebody pulled a bunch of BMWs in there, Matty. And they wanted
the stadium?
And, oh, yeah, they were trying to sell BMWs. They knew everybody from the trading floors. It was like the Merc against the CBOE.
Yeah.
So the guy's here getting in this car. Well, this is, God, how many years ago was this? This was in the 90s. And the car was like $85,000. They had the luxury tax back then. The luxury tax was like $11,000. And the guy goes, Joe, you'll love this car. I said, this is America. For $85,000, I'm assuming it's a nice car. And I said, this luxury tax is more than I've paid for every car I've ever owned combined. the guy's looking at me thinking, I'm not his target clientele.
No.
But of course, the guys at the Merc and the Board of Trade, there was like a Michael Jordan basketball. So they ended up bidding, just outbidding each other. They didn't think I'm going for like several $1,000s just because it was like, see who's is bigger type of thing.
Okay.
And I'm like, a typical group. SP Futures, like I said, down 6. NASDAQ Futures up 3. Waiting for the Fed meeting. Be right back.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
Starks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now.
There's something happening here.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Ollie, Mr. Mail Weber on the board. SP Futures down 7, NASDAQ Futures up 3. Jeff, how are you?
I am good, Chief. How are you?
I'm all right, except I'm not liking the idea that Simone Biles is out for a while here.
Yeah, that's a loss. That's a shame to see. But what do you think about the overall viewership numbers?
I'm stunned. I can't tell how many of these places are just kind of refurbished. How many of these arenas were built just for this, and now there's nobody in them? God, I mean, I'm thinking that some of these arenas were used for something else, like sumo or whatever. They're not all new, but some of them have to be new. The water thing, there's nobody there. I mean, it seems like such a shame to have nobody there.
Yeah. It is a shame. Apparently, there's been a rebound in ratings. It's about... yesterday was a stronger day, so we're starting to see some better ratings, than starting out of the gate. Apparently, it was about 15 million viewers for Saturday and then bumped up to 20 million on Sunday.
Well, isn't there always, Jeff, I mean, this is obviously a Jeff and Matt question. If you go back the last let's say, 7 or 8 Olympics, hasn't there always been a viewership problem when the prime time is so totally different than when you're watching it and everybody knows the outcome?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know the answer to that, but I could see why that'd be the case.
Because wasn't that why they thought Brazil was good and Atlanta was good and L.A.? I mean, I'm going back a ways, but I mean, I know there was a problem in Sydney. I mean, you had to really be careful to not know who won the thing before you watched it. Like Saturday night, I was watching it and I didn't know who won. I enjoyed it. I watched the softball. I watched the men's volleyball. It's good stuff.
It is good stuff. I think it just raises this much larger question, though, about audiences in general and, you know, where people are going. You know, we're just not seeing on these event-based telecasts, we're just not seeing the audience that we used to see in the past. And it seems to be indicative of something larger and just not sure what it is.
Well, I have a real stupid question, which goes into, I mean, it's the same... when you were talking about the polling in the one Luckbox magazine?
Sure.
I don't know. And by the way, you always give me the world's best answers. I'm not so sure that was your best day. I still don't know how the hell you poll people. I guess way back in the day, you had the Nielsen's ratings. You had people. Did you pay them or not? It's a Matty question. To have the little meter in your TV, right? So they knew what you were watching and when they were... How the hell do you actually figure out who's watching what where now? I mean, how many people do you know at the sports bar? If it's crowded, not crowded. How do you know? They must be good at what they do, but how do you know how many people are watching it?
Well, it still works the same way. The Nielsen boxes are still in a statistically significant, according to Nielsen, amount of homes that they track, and it does obviously track the programming. But the problem with that now, and the caveat of that now, is that it doesn't track streaming activity. So you'll see in Netflix now, next month's ratings, that it excludes, you know, that it's all tabletop. It's television as opposed to including downline and streaming activity. And obviously that's a problem because it's not, you know, with a large volume of viewership that's gone to streaming, you're not getting a good count any longer.
Yeah, I mean, do we think it was significant? It was down the first couple of days. It had to be. I'm just going to lob one off the top of my head, Jeff. That means nothing. I'm going to say that for the first couple of days, the fact that this was the most on again, off again Olympics, I think it probably took a couple of days for people to warm up to it.
Yeah, that probably makes sense. I think so.
I mean, plus, I don't. Do you know any of the people? I mean, other than this young lady and. I mean, I know the Katie Ledecky story because Lou's Mr. Swimmer, and he tells us about it. But I don't know any of the boxers. I mean, I used to back, you know, in 5 Olympics ago, I knew everybody was good going to the boxer stuff. And are they even on TV? They even have the fight? I mean, I don't know any of these people. I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, part of it's just me being lazy. But, I mean, are these people household words? I mean, everybody had their hero. But now these guys, they're just... I mean, I won't say they're just a bunch of professional athletes that do this once in a while. I mean, the guys that
I think, and you know, I'll be a little hesitant going down this path because it seems like maybe it's a path a conservative talk show host might take. But I think it'd be fair to say that there's a different notion of coverage now. I mean, you know, I think there's a collective. Notion that perhaps nationalism or, you know, patriotism or American pride is a little bit less of a selling, you know, point in national media now. That would generally be part of the build-up to the Olympics. Remember, you know, you think 10 years ago, the Olympics was a great moment of national pride. I'm not sure that collective national pride exists to the same extent it does any longer. I mean, you can call that a conservative talking point angle, but I think it's 100% true. And, you know, it's just indicative of where we are right now, and I think that kind of leads to things. But it goes back to something else. You know, I'll walk right over that, not even let you comment on it, because in the meantime, I pulled up some other numbers, and, you know, we got a real problem. The audiences have dropped for events-based programming. You know, the they're dropping across the board. You see it in all sorts of sports, right? The Oscars were down 56% to 10 million viewers in April. Golden Globes fell 62% to 7 million viewers. The Super Bowl slid. What else? Even though you had, like, you know, Brady returning, right? You've got it kind of across the board. You've got this kind of slip-off. And the Oscars audience is off 57%, fallen from 55.25 million viewers in 1998 when Titanic was best picture. So you can just keep on. You've seen it in the MLB. You've seen it in the NBA. You're just seeing it. And the odd thing is, during the same period of time, Netflix reported lower subscribers in the last 6 months, and Twitter viewership has fallen off. So you can't say that it's necessarily being taken up by social media. So there's a question, you know, where have the audiences gone? I mean, are we just all less interested in events-based programming because we're so busy, you know, streaming Virgin County or whatever the next, you know, Netflix kind of mini drama is? Or so I think it's a real problem for media. I've got friends in broadcast media who speak to this all the time. You know, where are the audiences going? Where's the baseball audience? Where's the NFL audience? Where's the NBA audience? And there's a reason that, you know, people can postulate as to why. They lead to a political discussion often, the politicization of sports. There's a lot of reasons why people might be turning away. I mean, certainly Bill Maher had a rant about why should people be watching the Oscars when nobody wants to watch the movies they're making because they're all, you know, trying to lecture you on something or not. So, you know, people may want to ignore that commentary, but
I think he's
real decline in audiences.
I'm not a big fan, but I think he's spot on. I know an awful lot of people who will not watch an NBA game. And I like basketball, so I especially thought the playoffs were pretty good, and a lot of people don't forget, even though media decides, if somebody like you or I were to say one bad thing, we're banned for life from really life. Yet LeBron James can put your next on a policeman with a target on him, and he's still a huge star. We become very selective, but a lot of people don't forget that stuff. And I wonder, in the Olympics, and I watch the softball, and it's not the girl down the block. I was going to say the girl next door, Marianne. No, it's not the girl down the block coming out of college, you know, competing against other people's young ladies, young men. I mean, the lady I'm watching, the softball pitcher, and she's, you know, she's really good. I'm going, wow, this girl can really pitch. Turns out she's 33. She's played in professional leagues in Europe for 10 years. I'm like, this is the Olympics? I mean, really? I mean, it still was really good softball, so I stayed watching it. But the Tribune had a thing on Sunday about the 60 people from Chicago that are in the Olympics. Well, the first one, they got some young lady who's playing softball for Italy. Okay, she's from Chicago, but she's playing for the Italian team, which is fine. But I mean, we're not. It's not the same as Jean-Claude Keely. If you're France, he was France. He's a young guy. He's the best skier in the world. I think he went once when he was real young. He's got his one splash on the world stage. Then he goes and gets a job. He doesn't become a professional Olympian for the next 40 years, so nobody else can come up after him. It was you had your one time. I mean, you look at the medal winners. I mean, not that these people aren't spectacular; they are. But who's the guy that won all the speed skating things? He went once. Then he got a job, right? I mean, this wasn't your professional lifetime. Every 4 years, oh, yeah, I guess it's the Olympics this year. I'll go over there. I mean, it's not the same thing, I don't think. I mean, it's not the same as if all of a sudden the professional fighters went and fought. It's just another fight. It's not the same as, you know, some 20-year-old kid from Chicago who came through the Golden Gloves and all that stuff, and now he's on the Olympic stage, and you're really pulling for the guy. I don't think it's worse or anything. It's just not the same to me, right? I mean, it isn't. I mean, I don't know whether I'm wrong or right by thinking that way, But
I think it's a very compelling argument for a guy that's against term limits.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm just saying it's just another stop on the professional tour to a lot of these people.
Exactly. Like I said, this is not just Olympics combined. It's based on, you know, we're seeing it in larger programming, professional sports, awards, and special events. You're seeing it in the even things like the Grammy Awards, the Emmy Awards, you know. And maybe just people want to be entertained and don't want to be, you know, lectured to and you know, don't want to hear messages and just want to be entertained. I think it's one of the obvious conclusions that's fair to draw.
I think an awful lot of people who are very, the fact that there has not been equality all the time in my lifetime has always been a problem, because I've never wanted anybody to not be able to play or get a job or get to the school or do the right thing. Because I always felt that if you were playing in a softball league where certain people weren't let in, if black players weren't let in or Chinese players weren't let in, even if you won the championship, it was a tainted championship because everybody didn't get a chance. Right? I mean, I've always felt that way. I mean, but now that we're going, you can't walk down the street without having something being hit over your head. And you're constantly being accused of this. If you're old, white, with gray hair, all of a sudden I'm a bigot, I'm this, I'm that. No, I'm not. I mean, I really don't like it, people telling me I am. I mean, because I never was. Now, I know people who are, but you can't. I don't want to generalize against other people, and I don't want to be generalized. And I think a lot of people are feeling really insulted by a lot of this stuff. I mean, if you turn on the Academy Awards in right now, if you don't see that if it's a black movie, it's getting everybody's votes, there's something wrong with you. if somebody happens to be black and wins the best director, I want them winning. I don't want them winning if they're not the best director. I mean, I want to be fair all around on this, Jeff. And that makes me right now a horrible person, but I don't know. That's just the way I am. I mean, Lou tells me that that's not the political right spot to be in now, but I just want it fair for everybody. And, that's not, people don't think this is. They don't like basketball players deciding to make the teams up and go someplace, and all of a sudden you're here for Cleveland for the rest of your life, and 2 years later you get some more money and you're gone. I mean, that to me is BS. I'm not going to be the guy's fan in LA. You know, I think a lot of people feel that way. I don't think I'm alone in this. Do you?
No, not at all.
What do you make of what's going on over in this Hong Kong and China right now? With I'm switching to the market here. Hong Kong's down 8% in the last 2 days, and so far, you know, we're not even getting a whiff of this. What do you think the motivation is? I mean, I'm asking you the same question, but you're not biased like the people that are on TV. All they want you to do is send them money and charge you a percentage of the market to go up. So no matter what it is, they're going to tell you that, well, in my mind, the Chinese leadership is messed up, and they'll stop. And by the way, send me your check. Well, I've never done that because, by the way, if you want to be short and I'm managing your money, I can get you short. It's not a question of being one way or the other. But what do you as a guy who's written magazine stuff and the Chinese situation? What is the motivation? They don't want their stocks listed here. I mean, I don't know if I want to trade IBM, I got to go to the Shanghai market to trade it either. I mean, what do you think is going on, Jeff?
Well, you're clearly seeing the mainland Chinese stocks. You know, they're experiencing big losses lately as a result of regulatory pressures and concerns that they're seeing. China's antitrust regulators basically are flexing their muscles about certain things and disclosures. They've recently launched a little attack against the edutech companies, creating new restrictions for how they operate. Chinese government really has its hands in the publicly traded companies there, and American regulators are getting concerned about it. Saw someone at the SEC a couple of days ago. The story was that they're considering a requirement now for Chinese listed publicly traded companies in the U.S. that they have to disclose in their risk that they're subject to the interference of the Chinese government, and that it creates additional risk factor. So there's much more uncertainty, you know, particularly in the Chinese technology and private education sector. And, you know, investor sentiment's just reacting to this because the government's getting involved in the activity of those companies.
Okay, I'm not going to take the other side because I agree with you, but how is it that, I mean, I listen to these stations all day long, which, you know, is getting to me. I'm going to say, Jeff, it's getting to me. To me, it's become, I'll ask you this question flat out. Is it just me, or are these stations becoming the what do they say in Star Trek, the silver tongue mouthpiece of the big companies? I mean, everything these guys do is designed. Every earnings play is terrific. Every chairman is the best person on earth. Are they doing this just to get the advertising or to get the people to come on as guests? I mean, what is it? I mean, why is this a shock? I mean, you know, maybe more than anybody else, you know that this whole Alibaba thing was a joke. That 20 years ago, you could never have gotten that thing on the New York Stock Exchange. You got an income stream out of Bermuda. Jack Ma allegedly owned the assets. And, oh, by the way, anytime they wanted to, the Chinese government, there was never any control of the company on the New York Stock Exchange, which I don't think you could even list there 20 years ago without having the stock that was voting, right? Or was it 25, somewhere? And all that thing was an absolute abortion to be put on the New York Stock Exchange. Now, here it is, 5 years later, 6 years later, and all of a sudden, man, I'm shocked that the Chinese government is messing around with Alibaba because Jack Ma thinks he's now bigger than the Communist Party. Why would anybody be shocked, Jeff? I mean, what is the matter with them?
Yeah, and we've known this for a long time. You know, first of all, Alibaba is it's essentially the face of the Chinese economy, right?
Yeah.
But they report their financial statements directly to the SEC, no investigation, no possible method of verification, yet, you know, we still allow U.S. investors to invest because it's out of our jurisdiction, which is, it's really kind of crazy that we allow this to do. You know, it's basically the fiscal puppet of the Chinese regime, and we allow that to happen. There's Alibaba's financial statements. The fact that they're likely fraudulent has long been reported. You know, they're reporting cash balance revenue and profits. With these subsidiaries. That are essentially the regime itself, right?
I mean, yeah.
So, but there's nothing new here. So to your point, we continue to talk this up. You know, it goes, listen, you see what happens when you speak out of turn on China, right? I mean, you saw it in the NBA. You've seen it in a lot of different ways. They have a big influence.
Jeff,
being a media person with a lot of respect for the hard work that goes into media, you know, I just can't help with having the same distrust. I know media distrust is at an all-time high, and whether it's financial media or political media, I just think we are constantly getting spinned. And I don't blame people for tuning out the media. And I think that also has a lot to do with, you know, the topic that we discussed earlier, this general ambivalence towards national events that are being reported by the media. When the media is the mouthpiece, you know, the story just seems to be very different from what it is. You know, I took a picture of my phone. In fact, I'll pull it up while we're talking. Yesterday, long day at home, right? I run a magazine, and, you know, it's a highly recognized, we're the most awarded new publication of the last 2 or 3 years, the financial publication that, you know, is growing by thousands of subscribers every month.
But Jeff, what you're just saying, your magazine, and to a certain extent, I mean, not the same anywhere near, because you do, I think, a way better job, this show, if people actually gave a crap about the truth, your circulation would be 100 times what it is.
That's true. It's true. We're very focused on truth, and we're very focused on not having a bias, a political bias. And I'll tell you, I took I I took a picture of something yesterday, and I'm sharing it with our editors today when they come in, because I'm at home. I go through the mail. I get the latest Newsweek. The cover story is about the changing work environment, story I'm very, very interested in, you know, working from home and what it means to business, et cetera. It's something we covered and something we follow. I open it up, and the first feature story is a cover spread showing Tucker Carlson, very unflattering picture of someone applying makeup on him with a you know, really kind of goofy face. It's the kind of face that, you know, Fox, when they'll put up a picture of Hillary Clinton to be disrespectful, they'll take, you know, a wide-eyed, bug-eyed picture of her. You know, just this intentional disrespect to somebody. But here is Newsweek, right? I mean, by definition, it's supposed to be news. And I took a picture. I'll read it to you right now. The most powerful conservative in America. That's the headline to the story. But the only other text on the spread opening, which is called the teaser text, or the subhead, says, by stoking the culture wars and peddling white grievance, Tucker Carlson has become the standard bearer of the right. By stoking the culture wars and peddling white grievance, Tucker Carlson has become the standard bearer of the right. Now, I'm a hardcore nonpartisan, but I know partisan journalism when I see it. I took a picture of it. First of all, it's the highest rated cable show in the country, right? It speaks to half of America. So you have Newsweek. Instead of it, now, if this came to me, and this stuff comes to me all the time because the overwhelming amount of journalists and political editors are decidedly liberal, but if this came to me, and it does, as editorial director of the magazine, I change that to saying, is either by maybe stoking culture wars and peddling white grievance, or calling out truth, or calling truth to power, and calling out, you know, bad government or whatever. I would put two different perspectives to invite the reader to come to their own conclusion. But what this journalist did, or what this editor allowed to happen, was a story that already says half of America is concerned with white grievance and stoking culture wars, because by saying he's become the standard bearer of the right, well, that's 50% of America. So this journalist and this editor is basically saying, F you to 50% of the country, don't read our story because we're ideologues. This is throughout our media. It is so offensive to me. It is so reprehensible that media is doing, and this is Newsweek. This isn't Commentary Magazine or National Review or The New Republic, which are decidedly opinion-based magazines. This is supposed to be news. Yet what they just did was call half of America, you know, white supremacists, essentially.
All right,
it's just unbelievable that this is the media. So you wonder why people don't want to watch anything where the media acts as a filter. I would have never let that subhead go by. Because all it does is say F you to half the audience.
I'm going to say something horrible here for you and me. Neither would I, and that's why you and me are talking to each other. There's no, for some reason, let's talk about this after break, Jeff. As you know, there is no bigger fan of you than me in the stuff that you're trying to do, because you're doing a spectacular job. What you're asking the question is why. In order for us to, I'm going to say my ratings would go through the roof if I all of a sudden said, by the way, I'm on the right, or I'm on the left. And yours would too as well. People want that identity. Nobody wants to pay for news anymore. There's no sponsors there.
That's right.
There's nothing. And I guess after break, let's figure out what came first, the chicken or the egg? Are people doing crap like this to move people's minds, or do they know where people's minds really are, unlike you and me, and they're just playing to it? I have a hunch it might be answer B, but let's talk about that when we come back. SP Futures up down 11, NASDAQ Futures down 6. Be right back.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox. The Control Freak's Guide to Life, Money, and Probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, owner of Home Source Realty and frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks Radio Show. If you're thinking about purchasing real estate this summer, could be a good time to shop around. Whether you're a novice or seasoned investor, low interest rates and good inventory make adding bricks and mortar investment to your portfolio an interesting possibility. Many a great fortune has begun with the purchase of property. Call me today for your personal investment consultation, and I would be happy to get you started on your path to prosperity. You can reach me at AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com or call me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howie. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. It made me actually laugh a little bit here. Remember we were talking earlier about the how many times people, you know, fall on their ass before they get their first triple jump in skating or anything like that. And I was thinking about what if you and Jill, supposedly you were like a pair of skaters. Now you guys, I think,
are you talking ice skating?
Yes, ice skating. I'm thinking you guys are probably get along as well as anybody I've ever seen a couple. Now, suppose you were pair skaters and you go to an ice rink at 5 in the morning, and the first three times you fling her, she lands on her ass, and she thinks it's your fault. How do you think your day is going to go?
Not a good way to start it.
not a good way to start. I mean, I don't see how those people get along. Good Lord. Because it's always the girl who's fallen, right?
Right.
God. Anyway, S&P futures down 9, NASDAQ futures up 2. We've been flopping around this this spot right here, up and down, but basically in the same range. NASDAQ up a little bit and S&P down a little bit. The Dow's down 100. Individual stocks in the Dow, we've got Boeing down $1.44. We've got Intel down $1.23. Intel just cannot get out of their own way. Maybe with Jeff coming on that. They just had earnings and they're down again. JP Morgan down $1.10. But nothing crazy. Over in Europe, we've got the Fed meeting starting today, so usually we're kind of slow. Not always, but usually we're kind of slow before the meeting. DAX down 81 now. They're leaking some. That's 0.5%. FTSE down 31. That's 0.5. They were only down 0.3% last time we looked. CAC around, which was unchanged, is now down 23. That's 0.4. So a little leakage over there. Again, we've got this Asian phenomenon we were talking about. Nikkei up 136, 0.5%. Shanghai, however, down 86. That's 2.5. Hang Seng down 1,100. That's 2 days in a row down over 1,100. 4%, so they're down 8% in 2 days. So that's a big move. Yesterday, for way of review, Dow was up 82, S&P up 10, NASDAQ up 3. Bonds, we are down 3/32 at 1.24. So again, inflation sort of be damned in these rates. Bund is down to minus 0.44 now, which is, they're going against,
again, the other way. So their negative interest real rate over there is even worse than ours. Japan is a positive 0.01. We've got oil up 6 cents, 71.97. Brent up 22 cents, 74.72. Natural gas down 3 cents, 407. Arbob up a penny, 232. Gold up 540, 1804. Silver unchanged at 25 bucks, 25.31, sorry. Copper down 2 cents, 456. And crypto, which was way up, thinking that Amazon was going to take them. Now Amazon's denying it, but they're not down 4,000. They're way down 1,600 at 38,326. Remember, they were under 30,000. Was what? Not this past weekend, the weekend before, right, Manny? So they're up.
It's brief, though, yeah, that they're under 30.
Yeah, they're always seemingly on a weekend, but
that seems to be the bottom right now of the range is around 30,000.
You definitely want to be, well, who knows? I wouldn't take this as investment advice, but the last four or five times it ducked under 30, you wanted to buy it, right?
Yep.
What do you got for us, Traffic Weather Sports?
38 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We're actually off to a pretty good start here on a Tuesday. Traffic building steadily on the Kennedy, but no accidents to report. Edens looks okay. Same for the Eisenhower. Heavy traffic on the Stevenson, but no accidents or stalls. Ryan, I-57 and the Bishop Ford are looking good. Earlier crash on Lakeshore Drive at Fullerton is all clear, so no resulting congestion there. Only crash in the area is, it says, a car versus a building. So we're thinking the building won that one. But it's down south, Sibley Boulevard, which is Route 83, on the southbound side between Evers and Cottage Grove. And that crash is blocking the right lane of Sibley Boulevard on the southbound side. But everything else all quiet. Weather today, another hot, steamy day before we cool off a bit starting tomorrow. Sunshine with a high of 91, lots of humidity. Right now it is clear and 78 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy with a high of 103 today. Right now it's clear and 81. In sports, the Cubs with a walk-off win last night. Javier Baez was the hero in the bottom of the ninth, breaking a 5-5 tie as the Cubs topped the Reds 6-5. White Sox lost down in Kansas City 4-3, but they did get Eloy Jimenez back in spite of him just going 0-4. But he is back from injury. He was in the DH spot last night. Diamondbacks were off. They're back in action this evening down in Texas to take on the Rangers. That's a 5:05 Arizona time first pitch. And as we take our daily look at the Olympic medal count, the U.S. is atop the leaderboard. 22 total medals. That's one ahead of China and four ahead of third place Japan. But as far as gold medals are concerned, the U.S. is tied with China and Japan. They all have 9 gold medals apiece. Chief.
Matty, stupid question. Prime time over there, what time is it here? If there's a, you know, a swimming event at 8 o'clock at night that's prime over there, what time are we watching it here if we want to watch it live?
Right now in Tokyo, it's 9:40 p.m., so they are 14 hours ahead of us.
All right, so all this stuff's already happening.
Yep. So they're probably wrapping up their live coverage.
Oh, all right.
I would imagine they're at 9:40 at night, local.
Yeah, I would guess. So, Jeff, a lot of the stuff we talk about is, and when you talk about the news media, wherever it is, we see these issues, and then we both try and opine and think on the air and actually get help from Maddie and whoever else wants to opine in. How did it all start? I mean, I have a feeling right now that as much as we shudder at this, that if you and I were going to launch a radio show, say in the middle of the night, and say, if you want unbridled truth without regard to the left or the right, and just the blah, 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 we're going to have the best guests, we're going to have this, anything, man, from 3 to 4 in the morning, which would you rather have, that or these two guys are coming on and they are going to be the new standard bearer for the political right, or they're going to make, what's her name on CNBC, look like, you know, she's Attila the Hun. We're going to be so far left, so far right. I'm going to guess that no marketing company wants plan number one. That if you want to make any dough or get any sponsors, you got to be one or the other two. So the question is, who's wrong? I mean, if the Tribune came out tomorrow and said, we're going to hire 15 of the best reporters, we're going to put a couple in Washington, a couple in Europe, and oh, by the way, you're going to have the best unspoiled news there is, would they get one more person to buy a paper? But these other people, I think this guy who was accused of being the standard bearer for the political right is the happiest man on earth. He just was accused of being it.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of theories about it. I'd like to think it's being taught and debated in colleges, but God knows what's going on there. But you know, let's go back and take a look as to how that evolved. You know, obviously three networks dominated news for a long, long time. And you got news. There was no question. You know, back in, Humphrey and Chris Wallace and Mike Wallace and Dan Rather. Back in the early days of news, they were clearly newsmen reporting the news. It was not opinion based. When social media came around and there were more choices, a lot more choices, you had so many different channels that for different voices and different news organizations, blogs, websites, etc., to break through, they had to develop their own voice. And this became very popular. It's a business decision. You know, the business decision is, do I want to try to appeal to 100% of the world, or do I want a stronger lock on 50% of the world? And, you know, obviously Fox, MSNBC, CNN, they've all made that decision that they want to go with 50%. You know, CNN and MSNBC, and that wasn't CNN, you know, 10 years ago. They weren't so distinctly biased. You know, Fox calls itself the antidote to left-wing media bias, and that's very true in a way. But when you had, you know, 10 outlets with a liberal bias and one with a conservative bias, and they saw the concentration of power that went to Fox, they, as a result of it, they started pacing it by being more partisan on all the other media outlets. So, you know, Fox was really breakthrough in a way, because when they positioned themselves as an antidote to a dominant left-wing media bias, they solidified their audience and they became a core audience with high loyalty. And the other stations looked at this and said, well, the only way we can compete is by doing exactly what they're doing. And that's how we became so, you know, polarized in our media channels. We're not getting news from anybody. I mean, when you have Time and Newsweek doing this now, it's just, you know, unbelievable to me that Newsweek headline is so reprehensible in so many ways for a news publication. Basically, they have a sub-headline that's already telling, you know, the reader, hey, look, this is not an objective article. We are not going to let you decide. We are telling you what our viewpoint is at the outset. And they're doing that because, you know, the economics of having a 50% audience as opposed to trying to compete with a 100% audience seem to be working for them. The unfortunate thing is there are platforms now that are saying, okay, maybe we can cut through this. Real Clear Politics probably being the best example, and to a lesser degree, platforms like All Sides, which says we will take the opinion of all sides and put them on our platform. And at least for readers who want to see what other people are thinking, you know, we will become the go-to destination. But their audience is fractional. It's not working because people rather be in feedback bubbles. We know that because of, you know, the way Facebook's algorithms work. They don't take what you read and feed you an opposite viewpoint. They take what you read and feed you more of it. So, you know, it falls, you know, we fall into that kind of thing. You know, Spotify did a study a long time ago that showed that the majority of people in their 40s and 50s are not into music discovery. They want to listen to what they like, and that's all they want to listen to. So those algorithms are built to continue to feed you what you like. So if you're playing the Eagles and you hit a thumbs up, you're going to hear a lot of music that sounds like the Eagles or just the Eagles. You're not going to be hearing Lucy Dacus or Cardi B or you know, any kind of music outside that range. And we become just more narrow and narrow and narrow because computers are feeding, based on our likes and dislikes, our content to us. So social media and technology has had a lot to do with how we got to where we are right now. But it's also people. They're still making these conscious decisions to break out. You know, from my commentary about Tucker, I'm sure I'll get that ignorant person who wants to just respond, oh, well, Tucker's this and that. You know, I make it a habit, you know, personally, I listen to TYT and Ben Shapiro. I listen to the Young Turks and Ben Shapiro at least three times a week. Those are extreme left and extreme right podcasts. Every given day of my life, I'll listen to Cuomo on CNN and Tucker Carlson on Fox for the simple reason that those are the two guys in media that I actually have some regard for, because they're the only two who have the cojones to have the opposing view on their show. Tucker Carlson will repeatedly invite guests with opposing views. So will Chris Cuomo. Don Lemon, Rachel Maddow, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, they don't do that stuff. You know, there's nothing more nauseating than Morning Joe, but I listen to it every day because they will never have an opposing view on. But that's what people want to watch. So it's still us. We can break out and vote with our feet, but we choose not to.
Well, but it's harder and harder. I think you have to, right or wrong, crazy or not crazy, this is the job I've selected. I like doing the show because I love talking to my guests, and I think enough people say that they like it enough to where it's nice for me. But my job is to watch TV and to watch the news for other people because I'm managing their money, right? So, and you obviously are putting a magazine out, but the rest of the world does not have the time to spend that you and I do. So they latch on to one side or the other, and they're constantly. I mean, I will tell you, they're listening to CNBC all day. It is so far away from the term news that I knew as a kid growing up. It's not news. I mean, it's designed to curry favor with companies. That's what and investors and people who want people to give people. I mean, there isn't anybody on there that if you said, well, what should I do with my money? And they're managing money for people and getting charging people a percent or percent and a half a year. And every time the market goes up, they get more. They don't care if an asteroid was coming to New York. Jeff, they would never once say, what you really should do is call your investment advisor and ask for your money back. It doesn't matter what happens. I mean, God could put Sodom and Gomorrah out here and it wouldn't matter. Nobody would say get out of the market because that's why they make their dough. And so, but I don't know how you get back to the fact, I mean, but people somehow lose track of whether it's news or just opinion. I mean, I'm arguing with people all day long on the show because I feel that I never learned anything from somebody who thinks the same way I do. But clearly, the Rachel Maddows of the world don't believe that, or they don't want it on their show. I mean, I'm never going to...
You know...
Go ahead. I mean,
I think Jon Stewart did us a disservice. That's something that he's well noted for. You may recall back when Crossfire existed for a long time.
Yep.
That was... Who was that? Oh, that was Carlson and Badala, I think. Is that who that was?
Well, I don't know. I remember seeing
So Crossfire was a big show on CNN. And Jon Stewart kind of made his name. It was a big, big moment in television when he ranted on that show about that show dividing America, because the whole format of the show was two people sitting across from each other debating and giving different sides of one issue. That's actually a good thing. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing.
Well, didn't Saturday Night Live?
But Jon Stewart decimated that, and as a result of that, format disappeared. And then shortly, you lost the McLaughlin Report, which was the same idea. It was two people on one side and two people on the other side, and McLaughlin moderated with opposing views, and that was a good thing, but that show disappeared. You also had that format back with Bill Maher under Politically Incorrect, when he had two people sitting across from each other with opposing views and Bill Maher moderating. Those shows don't have relevance anymore because people don't want to hear opposing views. They don't want to have to answer to their biases. You know, I mean, people rather just, you know, look at the news today where there's all the wailing about the ignorance, and it is ignorance about the people who refuse to be vaccinated. Of course it's ignorance, but that's all the news is talking about, as opposed to the ignorance of a border policy that's allowing unprecedented amounts of people in this country every day with no check of health as to whether or not they're carrying the virus. And we're worried about people who are choosing not to get vaccinated and have, there is no coverage of the so there's idiocy on both sides, but nobody wants to hear that. They just want to hear about the other idiot, the idiots that they choose to sleep with.
Not the idiot in the room. Hey, which one of those shows was the forming thing for Saturday Night Live? Jane, you ignorant slut. What, was it Crossfire?
Was that their weekend update?
No, but it was one of those where Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, I guess that probably would be Crossfire.
Yeah, but it was a total spoof.
Aykroyd and Jane Curtin, right?
It was a total spoof on that, Maddie, where the she'd say he was a moron, and then she'd say he'd say Jane, you're ignorant slut. It had to be from Crossfire.
Yeah,
I just remember Hannity and Combs. That was a big back and forth show.
Oh. That's right. That was another one that worked.
Yeah, so they got rid of Combs.
I guess that's my point. Can you think of any show like that now that really... It's amazing. We just named four shows that had that format of intelligent people debating both sides of an issue. Where does that format exist now?
I don't know that it does anymore.
I don't think it does. Well, except for here. And to a certain extent, Luckbox. I mean, you guys have different views, although I have a feeling that most everybody in your place was down on China and Amazon.
No, we got hammered by our readers for the Amazon issue. They really, we're still a free market capitalist publication, and the fact that we called out Amazon on their abuses led a lot of our readers to send in a lot of angry emails. Hey, Amazon's just winning at capitalism, leave them alone. We got a lot of that,
I'm going to take a shot at the population. Hopefully, not too many more of my listeners, but I think we have a very serious moral issue going on here, Jeff. I really do, and I mean, I know I'm the child of the Southside Catholic schools, but I think we have a significant part of the population that if it's convenient, if it's cheap, and if the stock is going up and I own it, I don't want to hear anything bad they do, and I don't really give a crap if they're killing babies by putting safety pins in the baby food. I mean, that is because everybody does the same thing. It's just capitalism. If you get away with it, you're good. We have massive people who think that way now, massive people.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to hear about when you walk into IKEA and you, if you ever saw the American shot glass at $2 a piece and the Chinese wanted $1.50. Nobody wants a little sign on there that says, by the way, this shot glass is done by slave labor. They don't want to hear it. Absolutely not want to hear it. And if you bring that to them, they're going to dislike you. What do you mean? They just don't want to hear it. And if the stock's going up and it turns out they're doing something dastardly in the boardroom, they don't care. I mean, if asbestos is killing people and you keep the lid on it for 10 years and the stock goes up, that's fine. That's just business. I mean, I'm scary about the lack of morals that people think is okay for these corporations to do. I don't know where that comes from. I saw it on the trading floor when you traded against individual people and there was an out trade and both of you lost money and you split it because you trusted the other person. All of a sudden it became corporations. Oh no, we're not splitting it. We don't do that. What do you mean you're not splitting it? You don't want to make, a whole different program about if you're one or two people removed, then all of a sudden it's okay. You know, what do you mean? You're going to take that mayonnaise off the shelf just because they have razor blades in it? Come on, it's cheaper than the other one. And it's scary. Maybe people think that everybody's doing it and certain people are only getting called out on, which I never thought I'd feel that way, Jeff, but I'm going to say that these people are going after from Trump's administration. I think they were the biggest slime. Well, some of the biggest slime balls I've ever seen. Yet, I look around and I see a bazillion slime balls, and I don't see anybody going after them. I've never seen a selective use of law that I've had, and every time some administration gets in, they do it worse than the other one comes in, and they think they can do it more because the other guys did it. I mean, were we, instead of saying, no, we're not doing that anymore, they do it worse. I mean, what's happening here is, it's a total degradation of what I think America is all about. And I mean, I'm not ashamed to say it. I'm ashamed to have to say it.
And to go full circle, I think that these kind of things that we all are aware of speaks a lot to why these kind of events that used to be so important, right? Remember the anticipation of the Oscars or the Emmys or the Super Bowl or the playoffs. Whatever these events that are part of our kind of national pride, because there's less national pride because of our general distrust in our institutions, our media, our leaders, I think that's reflected in America not showing up for these events any longer in the way that they used to in the past. Just to kind of close out the discussion as to where we started, I believe it's a factor. I just think there's much more individual. You know, our phones have kind of drawn us into our perspective doesn't go beyond the 18 inches that separates our phones from our eyes, and we just are less willing to take in the world around us. And I think that's just part of it's part of where we are right now.
Well, just a last comment we got to dash is, anybody from my generation to say that anyone trusts the military industrial establishment, if they say they do, they must own stock in it, because they don't.
Right.
I mean, there's no way you could. SP Futures down 7, NASDAQ Futures up 4. Back tomorrow. Thank you, Jeff. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jock.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.